Let's call the Montague City Criminal School Board to order at 6 o'clock. Please stand for the pledge.
To the flag, United States of America, for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Damon here. Randolph.
Here.
Cherry.
Here.
Pedal.
Here.
Buck.
Here.
Freiwald.
Here.
Aye.
Here.
Right. Approval of the agenda.
I make the motion.
Motion by Chris.
I'll second it.
Second by Amy. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Carried 7-0. Consider motion to approve consent agenda, minutes of regular meeting, August 19th, 2020, general fund voucher and financial report.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting, August 19th, 2020. General fund vouchers, 982 through 99100 for $2,088,032.02. Wire transfers, 202000018 to 202000029 for a total of $418,146.36 and voids of 97859, 98787, 98873.
Motion by Lyle, do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Kayla. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Carried 7-0. Public input, please. Everybody, the last few meetings we've read the policy public input. I'm not going to do that tonight, but just basically be respectful. Address the board, not one another. Keep your comments concise as possible. There is a 3-minute duration limit and one opportunity to speak on any subject. So public input. With all that, we have none. Red shirt, sorry. And please tell us who you are as well.
All right, my name is Steve Marvin. I don't think anything I'm talking about is on the agenda. I'm just to inform the board. I sent an email earlier this week, so Mrs. Robinson and Mr. Bowman are aware of this, but my company that I work for, PCI, or Ansel and Marinette, is donating extinguishers for every student in the Criven School District, as well as schools throughout Marinette, O'Connell, and Menominee County. So I'll be working with the principals to try and coordinate that, and it's going to be up to the principals and or the school board to determine how we do that. But I think we're just shy of 800 extinguishers are going to be distributed in every single school district. And there, I've got several other schools that I'm also in charge of coordinating with, serving Niagara, Dunbar, Goodman, Pembine, and another one down in Surrey. Just to make you aware that try and coordinate this. The company would like to have this happen by the end of the year, if possible. So I don't know if the face covering mask mandate has any will affect that at all, but just to be aware that that's something that the company would like to do and pursue. The reason behind this is the fire that was in O'Connell earlier this year in January claimed the life of a mother and three grandchildren of one of our employees. The company did a lot of good things for the family, but they wanted to go further and try and protect the students that are, in the areas that their employees live and work. So that's all I have to say. If anybody's got any questions, I'll stick around to answer them later.
Thank you.
Thank you. And just we will coordinate that with you, and we will get it done as clearly can. And thank you very much.
Yep. The extinguishers are ready to go at any time. So
thank you. This is order. Any further comments?
I feel the same as they do when it comes to the face covered.
Back to just please tell us who you are.
Sure. My name is Becky Arkey. My family actually just moved back to the district. I grew up here, but we just moved back this year, so we're excited to be back in the district. I'm not sure exactly what you guys are going to talk about with fall sports, but I just wanted to say thank you for giving them the opportunity to play, and I hope that that continues. I look forward to sports, and I know that really helps me mentally, school, and many ways. I think if you can take that away from the children, that's just one more thing this year that they have going against them. So I am a nurse too, so I understand the implications with COVID. But I just hope that you allow parents to make the decision on whether or not they feel their children are safe to play sports versus making the decision for everybody. So I just hope you take that into consideration and whatever you decide to discuss today.
Stacey Olson, mine is regarding the community ed. I understand that all the sports that we have in the middle school and high school are being allowed to continue, but my concern is what about the other programs that aren't necessarily sports related that aren't going to be able to take place this fall because they're not a sport in our school, and we have a lot of kids that aren't always involved in sports, but they're involved in other activities. So I'd like the board to take that into consideration, that maybe the tumbling could still happen with some conditions, or the theater can have conditions, and the other things that community ed is trying to do for the other students that aren't all athletes.
Anything further? All right, moving on. Correspondence recognition.
Thank you to the principals, teachers, and support staff for putting in the extra effort to get the student school year started so efficiently and successfully, given some very challenging circumstances. I would also like to thank A.D. Dorschner, the coaches and athletes who made it possible for our school district to be one of only 46 school districts statewide to be awarded the WIAA Award of Excellence. Criteria for this award, among others, include providing regular opportunities for coaches and players to receive information on sportsmanship, ethics, and integrity, compliance with WIA coaching education requirements, no coach ejections, and three or more teams giving back to their community through volunteerism. So, Coach Shorsher, you have the award there, and if there's anything you'd like to add to that.
The WIA came up with this program roughly it's the third year now they've had it. This will be year number four. And just to reiterate what Mrs. Rand said, I want to really commend our coaching staff. Not only have we not had any coach ejections since I've been athletic director, we haven't really had any sportsmanlike or technicals other than when Mr. Bowman forgets to put a number in the book. That's administrative, though. That has nothing to do with sportsmanship. But really, we get a lot of compliments from officials' associations on our behavior with our coaches and players. And so I want to commend our coaching staff, our players, on how they present themselves in game action. So,
thank you.
That's it.
Yeah. Sorry.
Reports, committee reports, building and grounds, and transportation. Building and grounds, transportation met tonight. We had two items on the agenda. We talked about the HVAC and the high school gymnasium opportunity to air condition it. We're looking into the aspects of what the air conditioning could do to the hardwood floor and relative humidity and things like that. So we're looking at engineering for that. Then we looked at a storage shed for vehicles and clubs somewhere on the property. And we're just in the preliminary stages of discussing both of those. So that was building grounds and transportation technology committee tonight. Administrative reports, Mr. Mann.
The school year began with students on September 1st. I would like that the teaching, administrative, and support staff a great start to the school year. These folks make the start of the school year look very easy and effortless. In reality, a great deal of time and effort is required to get everything ready for the first student day. This is especially true this year with all the extra preparations and precautions due to the pandemic. Through a federal program, the district has been able to provide free lunch and breakfast for all students in the district. We are also providing this opportunity to families who choose the virtual option by allowing pickup of these free meals here at school. Currently, this program will continue excuse me, through December 31st, 2020. It is our hope that it will be extended beyond that school year. We should hear more about that in the coming months. So far this school year, we have been fortunate with our attendance numbers, both in terms of students and staff. There has been one confirmed case of COVID in our student body at the elementary middle school. Due to our cohorting and other mitigation efforts, this single positive case resulted in only a small number of other students having to quarantine. Finally, I would like to thank students, parents, and staff for their patience and flexibility in dealing with all the changes we faced in getting this school year started. Change is difficult, and the understanding and willingness everyone has displayed to move forward positively has been amazing. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Bowman.
The 2021 school year has gotten off to a simple start at the high school. We used a much different format for the first day of school this year by utilizing our late start schedule and using the first 2 hours of the day to give tours to the freshmen, hand out Chromebooks, and discuss school rules and daily procedures. Since the first day, we have ironed out many of the glitches we were encountering early on with our virtual format, and the student body has settled in for first semester and the road to Thanksgiving vacation. It'll be here sooner than you think. Math and English departments completed their first round of MAPS testing during the week of September 9th through 11th. The freshmen and sophomores will be tested twice more before the end of the school year to gauge the progress they have made in math and English. And lastly, echoing Mr. Manns here, I would like to commend our student body for being so cooperative and well-behaved in what has been a very different year to be a Cribbets High School student. It has not been easy for the students or for the staff to deal with some of the limitations that have been placed on us academically, socially, and athletically by the COVID pandemic. It has been a feeling out process for everyone who works and attends this school, and I am proud that we've been making strides in providing an education for our students that is worthwhile in a format that until 3 weeks ago many of our staff never used. We are still working to improve the utilization of a virtual format in a face-to-face setting, but I'm confident we can achieve this with the continued great behavior of our student body, the hard work of our staff, and the patience of our parents.
Mrs. Robinson.
Starting the school year during a pandemic sure has made for a lot of changes, but it is great to have students back in the building. The students are adjusting well to the changes in specials, lunch locations, and one grade level at a time at recess, as well as masks and social distancing. On Monday, September 4th, at the annual CBA-CRA banquet, the Playground Committee was honored with a special recognition for the work that went into fundraising and planning for the new playground. Thanks was given to the district for the contribution it provided that made the new playground a reality. Fundraising efforts are continuing through WPTO and the Change Foundation, the Change Fountain, at Witt's Piggly Wiggly Ace Hardware, and they are hopeful to be able to add another piece of equipment in 2021. Lastly, parent-teacher conferences in October will be virtual for 4K through 12, and parents will sign up for slots for time slots via Skyward.
All right. Mr. White?
Our maintenance person and I have been working on cleaning out the football garage, the old press box, and under the football field bleachers to make room for the new pole vault mats and to create some more storage space. Although these efforts will help our situation, ground floor storage remains scarce and at a premium due to the quantity and large size of some athletic equipment, hence the reason for talking about the storage shed in the Building and Grounds Committee meeting tonight. The high school kitchen was upgraded this year to include a new double-deck convection oven and a six-burner range. This replaced the old oven and range that were at the end of their useful life and in constant need of repair. The new appliances will also use significantly less energy than the old ones. We recently restriped the high school track to refresh the faded markings as well as add additional markings that are now required by WIAA. This is something I scheduled in June, but they just now were able to finish the work. This will get us by until we seal coat the track again within the next couple of years. Myself, along with the elementary and high school secretaries, met with the bus drivers last week, to clarify some misunderstandings about our current busing procedures. The meeting was very positive, and we discovered some ways to streamline our procedures going forward. And lastly, I would like to thank Kitty Piter a generous community member and mother to our school finance assistant, Marissa Hoagland, for her donation of sand and labor to refill the sandboxes at the elementary school. This included having to pull the many weeds that grew in there over the summer. Thanks, Kitty, for your help in making our playgrounds a fun place for the children of Griffiths. That's all I have.
Mr.
Fall sports are underway. Cross country just completed their fourth meet of the season in Cranon last night. Volleyball competed in their first match last night at Lena for the junior high and against Lena at home for the high school. Currently, we have 19 students out for junior high volleyball, 18 out for the high school program, and all schools in the MNO Conference are participating in volleyball from junior high to varsity, with the exception of Oneida Nation due to their reservation stricter policies relating to COVID-19. Football began practice last week, and they're looking forward to their first game of the season next week. We now have approximately 15 students that are participating in junior high football, and about 35 participating in football at the high school level. JV begins their season with a scrimmage versus Northland Pines this coming Monday, 21st. Junior high travels to Coleman on Tuesday, the 22nd. Varsity travels to Northland Pines on Friday, the 25th. All schools in the Northern Football Conference, referred to as NFC, is participating in football at all levels, junior high through varsity, with the exception of Menominee Indian, due to their reservation stricter policies relating to COVID-19. We've been able to fill that void as Colby will be traveling to Crivitz on October 9th, and Notre Dame's freshman team will be traveling to Crivitz on Monday, October 5th, to take on our JV. The MNO Conference principals approved a plan for fan allowance at our conference games for volleyball. As of now, players and coaches are allowed 2 tickets. All split families will be getting 4 tickets, good for entrance at home and away events. For football, schools in the MNO Conference are giving each player 4 tickets per player and coach. However, with Crivitz being part of the NFC, where there are 4 different conferences feeding into our one football conference, the NFC Conference agreed to allow 4 tickets per player or coach unless mutually agreed upon by the participating schools. Recently, the athletic department has been able to partner with 2 different streaming services. Just the Game Live, formerly Eye in the Sky, will be available for our fans to stream free of charge, thanks to the generous donation by our Wolverine Sports Boosters to cover the $2,000 annual fee to allow free access to games that we stream both at our home events in our gym and any events that we can stream from a mobile device at away events or out on our football field. In addition, the NFHS Pixelock camera system was installed late last week, and we are in the final stages of calibrating the cameras so that they are available as well. There is a subscription fee for fans interested in streaming on the NFHS platform. However, many schools are moving their streaming to this program, so a monthly subscription of $10 would cover the home and away events where Pixelock cameras are installed. It is a complicated process. We're doing our best to inform our fan base on what is available for each of our games, both at home and on the road, and that is empty. Scheduling and rescheduling events have certainly been a challenge, but having fall sports back and underway is definitely a welcoming sight for our students and our coaches.
All right, and Ms. Damon.
For IQ, the advisors have the list of resources to be used. Mrs. Retza and Mr. Kirschberg will be holding an organizational meeting in the near future. National Honor Society, Mr. Kirschberg is currently working on determining who the new inductees will be for this coming school year. Unfortunately, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the induction banquet will have to be postponed to the spring of 2021. Currently, it is penciled in for 7 p.m. on the evening of Monday, March 15th. WISPO, as of right now, there are no meets scheduled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Forensics is happening this year, but the competitions will be done virtually. They are still working out the details at the state office. Yearbook will be using an app called Yearbook Snap, so students and community members can submit photos to fund the yearbook. The password is Crivitz, a lowercase. Ms. Stillings will also be selling old yearbooks at the fall craft sale to help supplement the advertising sales. Student Council met to discuss homecoming week. The dance is canceled, but the festivities and dress-up days will continue throughout the week with certain COVID-19 restrictions.
All right, information discussion, fall sports.
Board asks that this be included on the agenda for this meeting. We can discuss anything related to fall sports. I will also note that things like community ed cheer, community ed tumbling would fall under what we would consider here Crivitz sports. So those certainly could be discussed here.
So are there any changes in the WIAA recommendations?
kind of waiting on the governor mandate, on the mask mandate, if that's going to be lifted or not, that would affect maybe possibly volleyball. You know, so we're working through that. You know, as a conference, you know, it certainly has its challenges, but, you know, keeping the players masked while they're playing and keeping their masks up. You know, we're not the only school. There's a lot of schools that are fighting that same battle. But they're doing it. They'd rather be masked and playing than not playing. So, you know, there hasn't really been any change with the number of schools dropping. In fact, I think some are starting to add down the area. You know, they're going through the legal process to fire up their fall sports. And then everything kind of got thrown for a loop for Upper Michigan teams when they said that fall sports can be a goal. Now they're scrambling to get organized, and they have their first game scheduled, I think, this Friday. So, you know, in terms of all the schools around us, they were just trying to stay with the guidelines as, you know, as best we can and move forward. So hopefully everything, so far, so good.
Be working for you?
So far, it's so good, yeah.
What about the Mr. Damon brought up, the face mask?
Yeah, the, you know, the face shields for football, they were a little bit, I guess, below our expectations on what they were supposed to be. Basically a glorified shower curtain that we have on the top and bottom. And in the first couple of days of practice that we had, you know, it's kind of some rainy weather, a little bit humid, and they really fogged up bad. So we're trying to get, like, do some tricks of the trade, Windex or Dawn dish soap, you know, to put on the mask so they don't fog up, because that's certainly a safety hazard if our kids can't see where they're going on a field or who's coming at them, you know. So we're trying to work through that as best as we can. As we get more information, as the games get closer, other schools are starting to contact, you know, the rest of the ADs in the conference, like in our football conference, and what their expectations are when you come to their field, you know, so they kind of lay that out for fans, for players, and, you know, and they want their masks on the sidelines when they're not playing, and then have, like, their mask in a tote in a clear plastic bag, like, you know. With our face shields on, I'm hoping that we don't have to resort to that. That would provide enough protection for our players, because I just don't see in the course of a game when we need to pull a kid in off the sideline that he's got to get his plastic bag and put his mask away, and, you know, we need a guy now. I mean, that's going to be tough to do, you know, so I don't know how this is going to work through that, I guess. But, you know, this is all new territory that we're just taking that in. So.
And then what about
That's what you were talking
well,
about.
Well, the community ed issue would go back to the board deciding that you had not yet opened up the interior of the building to anyone but staff and students. The issue with community ed is open to people other than our staff and students. So that's a decision the board would have to make.
Due to COVID, could we limit it to our own students?
You can't.
Not because
and have it be covered under Fund 80 or funded by Fund 80.
Yeah.
That's one of the.
But even with COVID, we couldn't. No, okay.
That's one of their tenets under Fund 80, is that it has to allow for.
And, yeah.
What is the cost of doing it outside of Fund 80 for our students below? For low contact, drama club was brought up. Our plays, you know, that stuff.
The play is just our kids.
Well, but it's fun. It's under.
If it's community ed, it could be other kids.
Well, yeah, but.
Or parents or volunteers or whatever. So the issue really is, what does the board want to do in terms of opening up the building to those that are not our staff and students relative to community ed? That's really the issue. We can do all the things underneath community ed with mitigation and everything else. The board has to determine whether or not you want to open the building to non-students and staff. That's the challenge.
And those kinds of things. So we are, to a certain extent already,
opening it up.
Relative to those sports, yes.
With those other sports.
Yep. So because you allowed fall sports.
Because we allowed
fall sports. Relatively to fall sports and community ed, it's kind of the same, even a lesser impact per se, because there's not really another team coming in. There might be some.
But I think the question is, how many kids from other schools actually come in and participate? Like, how many kids come in?
Does Jolene know that?
That I don't have an answer to.
Jolene?
What's that?
Do you know how many outside of the curricular district students come in, like, for cheerleading or tumbling? Is that a great number?
I would say 8 to 10 students.
8 to 10?
Mm-hmm.
In all of them?
Well, in tumbling, that would be, I would say there's probably, I don't know for cheerleading, but there's probably
like a couple. I was talking to Marlo, so I don't know. But the ones that
in the band,
not anymore. So I don't honestly know of anyone right now.
That would come this year.
Yeah. So cheerleading has nobody right now.
At this moment.
Okay. And you've got 8 to 10.
It's all relative to, off the top of my head, I can't.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking that those people in those other districts aren't going to want to come here for the same reason that we're hesitant to have the doors open for everybody else. So I'm not sure that it's that big of a risk. It's not like we're going to have 100 kids come.
But just my opinion, tumbling's always been a big deal.
Yes, it has.
And I understand for now, you know, the kids have to wear masks if they do come. You know, that's till whatever happens. And the cheerleading, you know, we've opened up the sports, you know, deal, okay? Football, volleyball, cross country. Is it right not to have
the other
kids to do something? You know, I'm not quite sure on how to handle it, of course, but
I am not necessarily an advocate of fall sports. I believe with all the mitigation efforts we're having in school, I don't like taking the risk. However, to this point, we've been proven wrong because our cases have been low, if any. I'm not sure what the actual number is of cases in the district.
One.
So I may have been wrong. However, I would not be an advocate of having community ed as far as people from other districts or allowing the general public into the building. But having said that, we do have a nice fund balance. And depending on what the cost of the programs were, we've been fund balance for other things. Probably, in my mind, other things are even less important. If it is important for our kids to be, but no, I would like each program looked at as to, you know, the threat of spread, high contact, low contact, all that stuff. I mean, do I think we should be having little kids play football? I don't, but that's, you know, again, I'm one board member out of 7. That's my opinion. But if we're going to do this, if we're going to have to offer this stuff for 1 year until we get through this, or until there's a vaccine, or until the numbers go where it should be, why don't we fund this ourselves? I mean, depending on what the cost is, of course.
I've got a question. So tumbling is usually somebody that's a parent, huh?
Usually a volunteer.
A volunteer. So but that's not anybody that works for school.
Tumbling had a cost. For the last several years, there's been at least 2 people paid for tumbling.
Yeah. Two people.
For the last several years, it's been at least 2 people paid for tumbling, supervision, coaching, being there.
Okay. I guess what I'm asking is, are we going to allow somebody from the community to come and teach that?
Not a staff member.
Not a staff member?
Right.
Or like the play? I know at least one person was from not our staff. Is that going to be allowed? Or are you still saying it has to be a staff person?
But if we're following the same type of process as WIA rules, I mean, because right now we are allowing other parents and other teams and other spectators into our facility. And we're minimizing the risk by making sure that whatever community is event that's going on is going to fall somewhat under the direction of Mr. Georgner, just at least from a guidance standpoint, to ensure that that program would be following that same standard. It would seem like we're not taking any more risk than we are right now. I guess, unless Mr. Georgner, you have a different opinion.
Well, I mean, you know, talking about non-staff, we have coaches.
We have coaches.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
So it's, you know, I don't know if it's staff issues.
Well, then you've got, Jolene can oversee it too. She's like their immediate, with, from, yeah.
And because I'm not sure she's really up to date on the same thing too, would be up to date.
Well, that would be more, maybe I give a sports specific, I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
Guidance on.
There'd be less for on the play than there would for tumbling or, I.
It's about the mask mandate as far as.
This would go, you know, I would not open it up to students from other districts, period. So then we would not funding it ourselves.
Okay.
That's my personal opinion.
But I guess I disagree only because I believe we have the same process in place right now with what we're doing with our own sports.
We're not bringing a student from Wausaukee on the volleyball team every day to practice with our kids. Twice a week there's a volleyball game. And spectators and fans come into the building on a limited basis. So no, it's not the same because we're not having that interaction on a daily basis. My opinion, and I'm not saying you're wrong, I'm just one person, I would not have students from other districts coming into our building on a daily basis for any of our activities.
Well, these activities don't go on daily.
What?
They're periodic.
Multiple times a week? Would it be anything multiple times a week?
Tumbling is twice a week?
That'd be multiple times.
Sometimes?
Yeah. So multiple times a week we would be exposing our kids and our building.
Last year we only had it once a week.
Yeah.
Twice a week?
Been twice a week forever. Multiple times a week that we would be exposing people, our building, our students, to people from other districts.
Well, we're doing that with the other sports as well.
But not every time, not for every practice, not for every event. I'm just, that's my opinion. I mean, the board can make a decision with a motion.
So I guess what are we being asked to make a decision on? Are we being asked to allow community ed events to move forward or?
No.
No, what I'm asking is if the board desires to change its current procedure of limiting outside people into the district.
Because right now, these can't forward because we are saying that we aren't allowing people into our building.
Right, yes. Non-students and staff, other than with fall sports, which you said should go forward at the last meeting.
Pat, when did we allow spectators? I thought the last meeting would work.
Yeah, I thought that too. We discussed that at the last meeting, that there would not be spectators.
No, may have been discussed,
yes.
But it was not determined. So the coaches, athletic directors, principals met, and came up with their plan, their version of what to do. We've had one contest, and that was volleyball. That was last night. So knowing that, you know, the board can change that, but we had to make a decision for last night.
And that's why I wonder where it came from, because we voted discussed. On fall sports, and then I know attendance was brought up with no spectators, and then all of a sudden.
Because that's what WIAA said.
So if we're going to allow spectators on three or four nights a week here in the school, they're right. From all over the place.
Right, I'm just saying that was not part of a motion relative to fall sports. There was a part of discussion, but not part of a motion, not allowing spectators.
Okay. No. I didn't know if it was part of the WIA ruling. I guess I just.
No.
There was suggestion.
It was left up to the conferences. And
yeah.
At that time, there was not going to be any spectators.
Yep,
that was what was proposed to the board.
And now
but that wasn't going to be a conference decision that you were meeting on shortly thereafter.
Yeah. Correct.
What is the ruling now? We're leaving just tickets per person? Or
just what Mr. Dorsher said, each child will get two tickets per participant. Unless it's a split family, then they'll get four.
In the sport of volleyball.
For volleyball.
For volleyball.
For football, you get four.
And that's tickets for only
would this mean if we open it up?
You know what I'm saying? With community ed, we don't want anybody coming in from outside, but
they're allowed four.
It's not just.
At the end of the day, the principals, and Mr. Mullen can probably speak this more than I can, but the principals had a long debate on should it be under your same household, you know, and how do you police that? So they pretty much determined that, you know, you give a kid, you know, two tickets or four tickets, they can choose to pick who, I guess, who they want to come to the game.
I think, I don't know, I just think that should have came to us.
In other words, we've opened up the building then.
To an extent.
Last night we did.
To an extent. I mean, it was
yes.
mostly, it was, you know, just about, I would say 99% of our fans that were from Crivets were from Crivets, you know.
But like I say, basically we're discussing if we want to open it up to out of the area of people, what we just did.
Beyond high school sports.
For community.
Right, I understand that, but we did already.
We had people from Lena in here last night.
For high school sports, yes.
I mean, that seems like a more impactful type of thing than half a dozen cheerleaders or pumpers coming in once or twice a week to potentially practice with their coaches without having that.
It is. I will just add that this is, I mean, when this was first being talked about and fall sports were being tossed around and what are we going to do, this is a slippery slope that I was trying to get across, that if you allow certain things, where does that stop? Where do you draw the line and say, okay, in the interest of safety and everything that we know about the pandemic, COVID, and what we're trying to do to mitigate and stay in school and keep our kids healthy, what are we going to allow and what are we not going to allow?
Because what we discussed originally was that Community F was going to fall under whatever decision we made as a group for sports. And that's what I remember.
I remember the discussion that Community Ed wasn't going to go right away.
Yes. Yes. I think it was more of a discussion that Community Ed wouldn't be going initially because it does involve outside.
But if we do what Mike would like...
What's that?
I said, but if we do what you have proposed, that would be just our kids.
Well, now we have a fun duty item, theoretically, that that would never get utilized.
For this year.
Well, ideally, Fund 80 community ed programs are supposed to be self-sufficient. So if there's a cost involved with the link for the coaches, whatever the case may be, you charge each participant enough so that it covers the cost, right? So it's not really that you levied money on the community for those programs. You levied money, the most of which is to support our community ed director and her costs. Everything else, ideally, by design, is supposed to be self-sufficient. That's how it goes. So if you were to fund this, the challenge is, and I'd have to look into the legality of it, if it becomes district programs, you know, I'm not sure that we can charge for those. So it isn't going to be a self-sufficient. It's going to be your costs are going to be to pay whatever costs used to be charged through community ed. That's what would be absorbed by the district if you chose to go that route with those programs.
Well, my thinking, you know, I know maybe I have a different way of thinking about it. Really, we shouldn't be allowing any tickets for other groups to come in here. If we're not... We're saying community ed, you don't want that because you want anybody else in here. Then they shouldn't be getting tickets for outside groups coming in. You know what I mean? From Lena or Coleman or wherever. Those fans really should not be allowed inside this building. If we're going to go strictly by the way we want it. You know, if Crivets fans and they open it up at Coleman or Surrey or wherever they want to go, that's fine. We want to keep continuing the way we started talking a long time ago. We should not be allowing any tickets for outside people to come in to watch a game, unless you're from the district. And the same as community ed. That's just the way it's going to have to be if we're going to do it that way.